Side B of session number 51, recorded on September 3rd, 2007. And we're going to continue with the Bob Dobbs formula chart, and we're going to go into the chronology or timing of the categories under Shem and Sean. So if we go through them, let's go with the middle. Automobile, this is the computer and atom bomb level. Computer and atom bomb on the left. You see that?
Yeah.
So automobile comes before Quark Toon. All right?
Whatever the hell that is.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. Television comes before, comes after the airplane, going down one slot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Computer and atom bomb, well, at least the computer comes after the television. But, you know, television was just, it was an environment right away. Actually, the atom bomb is an environment before television, or they happen at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So the computer and atom bomb, you could say, is later than the television. The satellite and laser beam is later than the computer and atom bomb. And the homeopathic cliche probes is later than the satellite and laser beam. Going up, movies are earlier than radio and telephone. Telegraph is later than oratory. Newspapers later than print a book. User monarchy is earlier than manufacturers. And that should be, manufacturers should be ending in ES, not ERS. That's a misprint.
Right.
On the originals, manufacturers, not manufacturers. Manufacturers are people who make manufacturers. Manufacturers is a name for, back then, for products.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Also, you'll notice under ALP, satellite and laser beam satellite is has two T's. That's wrong. I'm looking at the chart on fivebody.com, okay,
mm-hmm.
In the chart and image archive. Okay, so we've got one, two, three, four. Is there four which are not following the pattern where Shem column is later than the Sean column?
Which four again?
Well, user monarchy is one. No, yeah, user monarchy is one. Movies is another. Automobile is another. I guess that's it, right? Three?
Yeah, because you're saying these actually came
before.
Before.
Yeah, the way it looks.
Is that true about movies that came before telephone?
No, actually about the same time. And telephone's 1880, so you could say that movies are later, but they come before radio.
Yeah.
So the if you think of the pattern in Bob Marshall's charts, where everything was mechanically, sequentially accurate, each phase, a later phase, was later on the chart than the earlier, older phase, right?
Right.
Or earlier, older phase.
That's why it was good to start with that, because it's nice and linear, and then we could start mutating.
Right. Now, under ISI, it's linear. Washington, 1776, Jefferson, 1810, Lincoln 1860, Roosevelt 32, Kennedy 60, Nixon 68, Reagan 1980, Perot 92, and me 2012. That's linear. And on surface, looking at the chart, it looks sort of linear under Shem and Sean. It is linear under ALP, isn't it? It follows chronologically. And it's linear under HCE. But to show that these media are responding to the hidden ground, then it's not going to be linear. It's going to be based on this, the sensory ratios, in this case, the extended sensory technological ratios. So the ground kind of determines which are the positionings under Shem and Sean, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let's, under telegraph, you have manufacturers, which is hardware. Now, the hardware is being superseded by telegraph, which is the beginning of the electric software world, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, with hardware, you can bring in the centralized, standardized industrial economy. That's why under HCE, it's locking down centralization. Locking down is like the last phase of a process. What's sneaking up on it is a new phase, the software, which will lead to decentralization, and that's the telegraph. The reason the user monarchy is the enemy, even though it's the past on in terms of its obvious meanings in the technological history, in the chronological history of technology. You brought up the Illuminati. The Illuminati starts to work globally. So they use the old environment of user monarchy to go around the centralized, nationalizing effect of the manufacturer's environment. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the world is becoming tinier, and the world becomes really tiny when you have the telegraph. So the effects of the shrinking by the telegraph that's coming in 100 years is being picked up by the intelligence agencies as reflected under Shem, usury monarchy. All right?
And why, once again, do you say manufacturers is...
Manufacturers, ERS.
Yeah. Why do you say they're centralizing?
Because you have to create factories, and people have to work in assembly lines to industrial products.
So they move from the farm into the city.
Yeah, it's the beginning of industrialization.
Yeah.
But
it's a decentralization of the old power structure, the monarchy. I mean, not the monarchy in the sense you're talking about it here, the global monarchy, but... terms of, you know, what did you used to have, the serf and the serfs and the feudal. Yeah, and it's kind of a...
No, the feudal environment was very decentralized. They got centralized with print, but the industrialization, which is kinetic space, increases the centralization more than the print book.
Hmm.
And the... It's not really decentralized. It collapses the monarchies. They're forced to regroup, and they go globally. And that's what LaRouche calls the global fondi, right?
Mm-hmm.
The trust funds are a key support for the central banking, and they operate around the world.
Right.
And meanwhile, though, manufacturing creates national industries, and nationalism becomes the figure.
Now, this seems like you actually got it backwards here in terms of manufacturing and printed book, because print visual space comes before kinetic space, but you've got it the reverse here.
Right. This is the history of the electric phase. Now, did you notice where telegraph is under Shem? It's two phases later, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Two phases later under Shem, whereas two phases earlier it was ALP ground, right?
Yeah.
And that's and where it is figure under Shem is the period when telegraph shows up, 1840, 1900.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you extend it, each invisible environment shows up as figure two environments later. So that means print a book was the hidden environment before telegraph, because it's two phases down.
Oh.
That's the point. But I didn't go beyond that. I didn't go back that far. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's in the double position, or in the later...
It's before the chart.
Yeah, it's before the chart. But it's in the position of two steps down where it becomes a figure.
Right.
And becomes a battle. You see, the printed book is kind of understood as a programming environment. And so everybody in 1810, 1800 to 1840 is starting to demand universal education for its citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So that is obviously the way you organize the society. So for the civilians, the technology is a weaponry against them. They may not see it that way because this new environment seems to offer new opportunities. But it's up against the newspaper because the newspaper has a global effect. All right? The newspaper shows many nations and events from different cultures from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
The newspaper has a globalizing effect compared to the printed book.
Right.
So the printed book is the established order of given means of programming your society.
Right.
And
And once again, though, the newspaper doesn't really take off as a in terms of being global environment until the telegraph is capable of telegraphing the newspaper all around the world. And here, once again, you have the telegraph after the newspaper.
But that's the telegraph as figure is after the newspaper.
Yeah.
And the newspaper as pre-telegraph is before the telegraph in the ALP. It's two slots down.
Right. Oh, I see.
It drops out of ALP and falls into either Shem or Sean.
Yeah.
Okay? So newspaper and printed book have fallen out of the ALP before the telegraph.
Right.
So you're saying I have the telegraph coming before the newspaper. That's what you were saying there, right? Even though they're different columns. It doesn't come...
Yeah. It becomes a figure after the newspaper becomes a figure. But now I see that makes more sense.
Yeah, the newspaper becomes a known figure or part of the tensions after the telegraph has become an environment. And the telegraph makes the newspaper, as listed under Shem, newspaper, is a global newspaper against the nationalizing of the printed book.
Right.
So the weaponry of the book is used to control the population against the non-nationalizing trends of the newspaper. So what happens in 1800 and 1840? It's the beginning of the inspiration for socialism. The working people become a class, a global class. People are starting to think beyond their national identities, and they're thinking globally as a class, okay, that transcends nations. And that's the effect of the telegraph.
In 1800 to 1840,
the telegraph hasn't even happened. But remember, these are effects preceding causes.
Right.
Right? We're showing these are like shades of ground here.
Yeah.
If the deep ground is ALP, then you have a more surface ground, but still invisible for humans, of Shem, Sean, and Issy, and then another hidden ground, the intelligence secret societies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's all ground.
Yeah.
And we're showing...
I just would have assumed that the consolidation of the national fervor would be happening all throughout the 19th century, from 1800 to 1900, as opposed... Well, I thought you just said it was that global socialism was...
Yes, you probably don't know these people. There's a guy named Fourier, F-O-U-R-I-E-R, another guy, Saint-Simon, and then later there was a guy named Sorel. These were philosophers of class warfare, and they're considered socialists. They were different varieties. I mean, you had the anarchists, you had other kinds of fragmented factions of socialism, but the thinkers were very small and tiny, hardly known. They wrote books, and they influenced some people, and then people might form communes and do different things, but they never became huge environments yet. That's not till Marx in the second half of the 19th century, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's beginning to be thought about in the late 1700s and early 1800s,
right,
in the 1800 to 1840 period. And we don't have the telegraph yet, but we have the effects preceding the causes of the telegraph.
Right.
So when you get to the radio phase, which is a deep hidden ground, totally non-cognizable, but people are building it and they don't know, okay, they are, the figure tensions of a not-so-deep ground is the telegraph versus oratory. Oratory is the medium fighting a telegraph. No longer the printed book is fighting the telegraph, right?
Mm-hmm.
So oratory, represented by these acoustic speakers, which are becoming prominent and effective because of the hidden ground of the telegraph. But this is the telegraph because it's being implemented. But for the average person, they don't even know the telegraph's a factor.
Yeah.
In 1840, 1900. But looking back, we can see that what was going on in England, Europe, Garibaldi was another guy. These tremendous orators were surfacing.
Yeah. So I guess Jefferson, everybody knew about him because he wrote stuff and people read him. But Lincoln, everybody knew about him because he got out there and
the famous addresses and speeches.
Yeah.
He's known as a speaker. Jefferson's known as a writer. So Jefferson represents sort of like the interval between printed book and newspaper.
Yeah. But Lincoln is not a socialist. However, in the 1840 to 1900, under the HCE, the secret intelligence, you got the, you know, Karl Marx and those guys studying, you know, maybe their socialist influences being felt.
Yeah, and that's why it says lockdown electrical government. The electric discarnate effect due to the telegraph is uniting the working class, or evoking ideas in some parts of the working class, that they are an international class that can organize politically and take over.
Hmm.
But
there were no international clubs at that time.
Oh, yes, there are. From 1840 to 1900, Marx run around. He writes Das Kapital, I think it's 1848 it comes out, in that period, okay?
Yeah.
And he's very active through the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. And I don't have the date of the first international meeting, but it's...
And he's got people meeting all around the world?
Yeah, and there's other groups. There's the anarchists. There's Kropotkin and those people. Mm-hmm. And then there's Saint-Simon and Sorel and people who came from Fourier.
Mm.
So it's a very politically active, struggling, violent class warfare, different ideas. I mean, Shelley is involved with it. Lord Byron is involved with it.
He's a minor. Marx is powerful in Asia, where he's probably being accepted, but
not in Asia.
Well, Russia, right? Europe.
Yeah. Well, not even in Russia. That doesn't happen until turn of the century.
So, Europe.
He didn't even know why. He didn't predict. Didn't see anything coming from Russia.
Oh, okay. Well, where is his influence most accepted?
Britain.
Karl Marx?
Oh, yeah. He was studied in the British Museum for a long time, using their manuscripts.
And he was sort of, there was a political acceptance of his ideology?
No. He was a radical. These were enemies of the middle class.
Yeah.
But they had a big audience, and he traveled all over Europe.
Mm.
But the
was he being read in America?
I don't know when that happened. I don't know how soon Americans started reading Marx. I don't know. Definitely they would have at some point between 1840 and 1900.
Mm, okay.
I mean, he didn't even write till 1848. So we're talking 1860s, 1870s, and 1880s. But that's the electrical effect, the tribal effect on the working class who are semi-literate, and they are responding to the acoustic space effect of the telegraph. So at the time of Marx...
Although the telegraph is not really acoustic in the sense you don't hear it like you do the radio.
That's right, but it's a McComb pointed out that the newspaper, even though it's a visual medium, creates the effect of simultaneousness or simultaneity because it's showing pictures of information from all over the globe.
Yeah.
News items from Peru, Chile, China, London.
Right. And sometimes all on the same front page.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah.
It's the last gasp of the eye as it becomes the ear.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that Marx is running around trying to work up the working class, and the Illuminati are working on a global financial struggle and creating wars, profiting from wars, and the middle class is running around trying to buy new industrial products. It's quite abundant, you know, compared to previous centuries, the wealth of the 19th century. So Marx is not thinking of the telegraph, that he's an effect, that his audience is a result of the telegraph.
Mm-hmm.
And he's using oratory. A lot of them are great speakers.
Well, I think he locked himself away in the library and just wrote. I don't think he was an oratory
guy.
No,
he went around. He was very active. He's your Abby Hoffman, running around speaking and doing all kinds of things.
Okay.
He studied in the early period. Maybe he kept studying. I don't know. I don't know where he was in the 1880s before he died.
Right.
1870s. But he was an international figure.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that from this perspective of the chart, there's no human in there. Mm-hmm. It's not Marx against the bourgeoisie. It is the telegraph against oratory.
Hmm.
And that battle on the media level, that we'll call it semi-ground.
But oratory is not a technology. It's a chemical body.
Speech is a technology. Remember, that's point one back to 50 sessions ago.
All right.
But speech has come back as a powerful medium.
Yeah, but the medium is the chemical body. It's the man standing there using his vocal cords to project his ideas.
Well, speech is the favored medium, you could say, of the chemical body, but it's up against the discarnate body, the
mm-hmm.
telegraph.
Yeah.
So oratory is the chemical body beginning to go interact with, we won't call it the TV body, you know, 120 years later becomes the TV body, but it is the electric effect, the beginning of the building of the first part of the electric, of the TV body, which is radio.
Well, there was oratory before the electric effect. You had the guys back in Rome who would go out and try to persuade the masses to one point of view or another.
Right.
They would argue and debate.
Small masses, small part of the world.
Yeah.
Very small part of the world.
Yeah.
Rome or Greece.
Yeah.
We're not talking about around the planet. People are speaking and becoming activists. Or social radicals,
right.
or conservatives. Point is,
just to finish that thought. That's what they did in the Senate in Rome, and maybe back in Greece too.
Did what?
Somebody would get up in the podium and talk to the senators and use oratory as a way of persuasion.
It was a non-visual culture.
Yeah,
the hidden ground was papyrus and the alphabet, but they weren't aware of that. It was an oral culture. It was oral up till the Elizabethan times.
Right.
Right, until the printed book comes in.
Oratory is the rhetorician.
Yeah. Now, remember at the top, it says actors, in brackets, retrievals and interiorization.
Yeah.
So you're interiorizing newer environments and retrieving other environments. So oratory comes back. And the reason I say oratory is that many of the major politicians in Europe in the 19th century were known and knew N.E.W. were startling because of their great oratorical abilities.
Right.
It came back.
Remember way back in the beginning of our talks, we talked about the rhetorician, the grammarian, and the dialectician?
Yeah. Yeah.
So oratory is obviously rhetorician.
Yeah.
Does telegraph have one of those biases? Would it be grammarian?
Well, telegraph is acoustic. So, every environment is rhetorical.
Mm.
It molds us.
Uh-huh.
So the point about the oratory is that you've got mass man beginning to be built in the cities, industrial man.
Right.
You're not talking to 35 people in the Senate in Rome.
Right.
Or talking some crowd in the gladiator amphitheater, whatever it was called.
Right.
You know, in Rome. You're talking about masses in cities all around Europe and beginning in the other parts of the world who are responding in group mode to speakers.
Well, you can only have, you can only speak, and they didn't have big microphone and amplifiers where you could speak to 30,000 people. So you still had to speak to a limited crowd. Although your speech could be extended through the telegraph and the media.
Not through the telegraph, through newspaper.
Through the newspaper.
But here's
the telegraph communicates it to different points around the globe so that it can be printed in the newspaper.
Right. Now here's the thing. You then leave that talk and you get on the train and you go to another city.
Yeah.
Now let's go back 100 years before that. People are sending letters and nobody's reading other than the educated upper classes. And
right.
They're meeting in parliaments and printing speeches. They're speaking in parliament, but it's then written down, typed up, and posted to other higher classes who are literate. And then they might eventually get to another town by horse and buggy or something, or they'll send letters. But it's very fragmented in a pre-acoustic sense that we're talking about in the mass level for the average working person, which is the situation 100 years later. But go back to 1720 or 1620.
But the real organizing factor here that we're totally not even bringing in at all is the fact that laws are being made, and this is what's organizing human beings to their allegiance and their willingness to either be law-abiding or not be law-abiding, and to form, you know, towns with police departments and, you know, and to live by the law of the land and all that kind of stuff. That has a deep, deep organizing effect.
Well, that's visual space.
Yeah.
It comes in with the printing press.
Yeah.
There are laws before that, but it's oral law with declarations by kings and barons.
Right.
Okay, but when you get the printing press, then you start having legal paper piling up.
Then you
and so that goes on for a couple hundred years. Then when you get into the 19th century, people bypass the paper, and they argue over what the laws are going to be and who they're going to be for. And they say, well, the bourgeois has a whole law system for the lower classes and a different law for themselves. So they start refuting that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you see, oratory resonates with radio.
Yeah.
Okay. Telegraph resonates with radio. Oratory is not electric, but it is retrieved because of the telegraph effect, the echo chamber that the telegraph is starting to create. And you have to realize this is happening to visual biased people. And to have that simultaneity is shocking. You just have to look at the poetry or painting of the time. It looks very limited compared to what we're used to. But then you look at what was considered outrageous to counter the aristocratic portraits that was the common form of painting, say, or the beginning of landscape painting. Then you have this wacky, abstract, symbolist, surrealistic stuff coming in. That looks like total nuts.
Yeah, but that doesn't come in until the...
Comes in this period, 1840 to 1900.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Poe is dead by 1849.
Oh.
And he's the one who creates the inspiration for the symbolists.
Well, who are the symbolists? Name a couple.
Rimbaud, Baudelaire.
These are writers. They were writers, right?
Yeah, poets.
Poets, oh, okay.
And writers and people running around in Paris.
Was painting being mutated at this time?
Painting, yeah.
But
because the photograph comes in 1839, so by 1860, the Impressionists are starting to surface. And they're considered nuts.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, so the point is that we have this hidden radio ground. So that,
well, yeah, I mean, we don't even have the radio yet. It's just being, like you say, it's being made in the back, and it's organizing itself through human beings or whatever. The telegraph, the newspaper, is obviously environmental because it's being handed out on the streets, and people are walking around and open it up and drinking their coffee and reading it, and everybody knows what's in the newspaper. The telegraph's more of kind of a insubstantial, hidden kind of thing because you don't see the telegraph.
Yeah, but
the telegraph.
Wait a minute, people get telegrams.
Oh,
so the,
okay.
See, people are always aware of these medium on what's called the efficient causality level.
I forgot about the telegram.
What?
I forgot about the telegram.
that
enhances personal communication between individuals.
Beg your pardon?
It enhances personal messaging between human beings.
Over vast distances.
Yeah.
But the point is, the human sees every new technological situation for efficient purposes.
Mm-hmm.
It has a use. And they just don't see the effects on other older media. That takes time.
Yeah.
And nobody could see the effects because time was moving, technological development was moving slower in the 19th century. It was rapid compared to the 18th century, but very slow compared to ours.
Yeah.
It's only in our century we can see that there were invisible environments.
Right.
I mean, McCool makes a statement. No human being knew there were these hidden effects ever in the history of thought or whatever you want to call it, science,
mm-hmm.
until the 20th century.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is that radio is there. It's coming. It's predetermined, at least from the perspective of where we are now. It's the next thing coming, right?
Yeah.
And so the oratory, the acoustic effect of the telegraph and oratory are figures, but they are grounds compared to Lincoln. Lincoln is the anthropomorphic human level.
Mm-hmm.
You could say the image of efficient political administration and security.
Right.
And so it becomes a figure caught, an anthropomorphic figure caught in between what's really a battle between oratory and telegraph.
Yeah, and if his advisors in the secret chambers of the HCE from 1840 to 1900, locking down the electric government, they should be advising him to some degree about what's going on.
Yeah, and he had a lot of problems, and they eventually advised themselves to kill him.
They advised themselves to kill him?
Yeah, he was killed by Steward, S-T-E-W-A-R-D, who I think was the Secretary of the Treasury.
Oh.
People don't know that, but...
Yeah, but people think that he was, probably think he was a lone nut who was upset about the Civil War and...
Well, the blacks and civil rights, a big issue.
Yeah.
I mean, the South seceded. And so the South is seceding for abolition of slavery reasons. That's what the anthropomorphic mind thinks is going on.
Yeah.
But they don't know that they're actually seceding because of the decentralizing effect of telegraph.
Hmm.
Just like people took drugs for reasons that Tim Leary told them in the 60s, and they didn't know they were taking drugs for the reasons McLuhan said they were taking drugs due to the effect of television.
Right. But the social, the civil rights and the social movements were real. I mean, that provided enough motivation for what happened
That's what humans think, that what humans do causes the changes. But when you begin to see that the environments, the technologies create, cause the changes, then you see the humans are knee-jerk reflexes.
Well, if the radio wasn't...
Let me finish. You only get that perspective when you come to our century and can look back and see that all the dreams and motives that made these humans do what they did in 1890 or 1870, none of them got realized. Other things came in and upset whatever they thought they were establishing, and then a whole new bunch of problems came in, and new wars and other conflicts showed up, because what was really causing it was the sneaking up of the radio.
Well, do you think if the radio was not sneaking up, there never would have been a civil war, and and slavery just would have gone on indefinitely?
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
And if television wasn't sneaking up, then you wouldn't have had World War One.
So let me understand this a little better. Why does radio? We're just lucky that it happens to benefit the civil rights of human beings, because it has a democratizing effect or something, and so people realize that we can't do slavery anymore because we're all being democratized by the radio, or...
That's right. The old visual space loses its control, so then people free up visual space and say, hey, let's educate everybody. Let's everybody go and have a printed book access and learn how to read. That's right. The Jefferson level.
And then...
And it's obsolete.
And then they're able to recognize, you know, that a black person from a visual space point of view is not an animal, is a human being just like me.
Yeah, and he can go to school and learn to read. That ain't going to get you very far in 1993 as Netscape comes up and the digital web is created by 1995. You're really handicapped if you've been visually educated. In general terms, there are particular individuals visually educated who then go on to learn how to make computers, and they get jobs at Microsoft, and they're doing okay, but they are still suffering the collective effects because their kids are on drugs, or they don't even have kids, and they got all kinds of other problems.
Yeah.
It's just like, right today, people think what? Are people happy today in the United States?
Oh, I don't know. If you look at the TV body, you see all these happy people all over the place. But
right.
You don't know who knows how everybody else is doing.
That's right. But if you listen to Coast, there are a lot of worried people.
Well, there have always been worried people. That worrying is an intrinsic nature to human.
Okay, panicking people.
Yeah. Well,
Have those emotions on the tiny notice chart.
I was
We do have panic and paranoia in these situations on the other chart, but let's not get on to that.
Okay.
The thing is, remember, we're looking back, and from the perspective of the Android meme, its constituents, now we're unfolding another level of the chart, it's from the Android meme's perspective that all that was happening in the human phase before the Android meme showed up was battles between its constituents, which are the technologies.
Yeah.
So this is the Android Means view of history.
Yeah.
That we're looking at. You
yeah.
get the point?
Sure. Right. If we want to anthropomorphize the Android meme and consider that it's some kind of a sentient creature that knows about itself.
Yeah, that is separate from us, even though we say that it is us. But it does show up in a different form from the anthropomorphic point of view.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we're looking at the Android meme's take on human history and seeing what led to its existence.
Right.
And then it determining what it's going to do to suppress the history that we're seeing here and make the human think that it's been in charge.
Right. But we, as you pointed out, McLuhan said that technology are extensions of us, therefore they are us. So
yes.
If we look at this more deeply, we see that this is our, if we don't do the Gnostic split and distinguish ourselves from technology, but we see that we are technology and technology is us, then it's our history.
That's right. And so I have the Android meme coming in 1960 on the other chart, the tiny note chart.
Mm-hmm.
McLuhan shows up in the mid-60s. So McLuhan was a propagandist for the Android meme because he was trying to tell us that the technologies were us. And that's what the Android meme wanted to say.
Yeah, and I remember in the I think probably it was the 70s, if not the early 80s, movies such as The Stepford Wives.
Yeah, it's about
where human being, where there was this confusion going on about human beings sort of identifying themselves or not being sure how much they were human and how much they were machine. But the idea that they were machine was part machine was a really sort of ugly thought because machines don't have any heart,
right.
And human beings do. And but you can realize that you're the Android meme and still have a heart, I think.
Yeah, that's what we're attempting to create the possibility of.
Mm-hmm.
But humans have the heart anyways, and it's the technological communication, their speech as an early technology, that creates a confusion for the heart.
Yeah. Yeah, Alan Watts pointed that out. Just a simple example of, you know, people sometimes associate the God as the watchmaker with Descartes and that age of enlightenment or the age
their
of
image,
reason.
The image produced by that medium.
And all of a sudden people feel like stranded electrons on a vast ocean of impersonal machinery, an environment that doesn't care, and it's hostile to the, you know, the individual. It's all just mechanical thing working itself out. So
that's
no,
the Newtonian God.
Yeah, there's no spiritual.
So do you know what the post-Newtonian God was that McLuhan spelled out?
What?
In War and Peace and the Gold Lilies, he talks about, in the 20th century, the new image of God. In the post-Newtonian, in the new electric world, the Einsteinian world, we'll say,
uh-huh.
He said a popular, it's almost like secular pagan knowledge, but the popular image of God is now turning towards the radio.
Oh.
And if you look at the way people talk about God as something that's in you, but it's in everybody else, and it's decentralized, boundaries nowhere, centers nowhere, no margins, all those talk,
right.
All those kind of phrases that refer to a mystical God or just a God that come in from the 60s on are really imagings of the radio effect.
Huh, that's interesting because the radio is like really archetypal by the 60s.
That's right, and you'll see that on the Bob Marshall chart. He has movies and radios as figures or art forms and archetypes in the TV phase.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
So the, and we were talking about, you're talking about the confusion of human and robot in Stepford Wives. Well, we just saw Inland Empire, and there's the confusion between the human and its software image, because the dilemma is, in the movie, whether she's acting or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
Whether the scenes we're seeing are a problem she has with her co-actor in real life, or is it just the set being
right.
filmed?
Yeah.
The drama of the story.
Right.
And so it's like more subtle of an issue than the robotic, mechanical 19th century Stepford Wives. But when you get into our decade and past 10, 15 years, the issue is not whether you're a machine without a heart or not. It's whether you're your image or not. Are you your celebrity image, your acting image, or
mm-hmm.
not?
Right.
Right? So that's where Lynch deals with the TV body.
Right.
The Stepford Wives deals with the industrial body.
Yeah.
And whether the chemical body is real or not.
Right.
And whereas Laura Dern in Inland Empire is trying to figure out whether has an image or not.
Yeah. And she's, and Lynch is still trying to play catch up to Bob. So what's the next thing after that?
These charts are pointing to that. So it's
yeah.
going to take a long time to answer that question.
Cause right. I'm
just trying to learn how to read the charts.
Right.
So the positioning of the actors, which are retrievals or interiorization. Interiorization is more the chronological level shown on Bob Marshall's chart, where once you're in the TV ground, people interiorize the previous environment of movies and radio. And so as TV's are ground in the 50s, people are beginning to notice the previous environment and project values in it, and so you have the beatniks celebrating jazz and black culture, all right?
Right.
Which was...
jazz comes kind of out of the... Well, comes out
of the radio era.
Yeah.
Okay, so and jazz changes after World War II. You have the cool phase, but that's due to television.
Television, yeah.
But the...
radio heats up. It's more hotter than... Radio's hotter than television because it only amplifies one of the senses, or the acoustic sense.
Yeah, and, well, it's one sense, and it makes it in high definition. Makes it very precise.
Why?
Because you can hear well with radio. Whereas with television, you get a blurred visual image.
Oh, yeah. With TV, with radio, you get hi-fi. At first,
well, you don't
get
hi-fi yet, but you got good sound production.
Yeah, you're trying to tune in between the stations, and there's a lot of snow in the sound.
Doesn't matter. Once you get to the station, you can hear it.
Yeah.
And there's lots of, distortion. But the point is, it's one sense in high definition, as you said. But it's also, if it's hot, it's precise. It's clear.
Yeah. But it's not as hot as the book.
Beg your pardon?
Not as hot as the book.
Though. Right, right, right. And then television is a blurred image, blurred sound, and because it's many senses, it's like many senses in high definition.
Yeah, Inland Empire, did you notice how he blurs, there are these places where he kind of blurs people's,
yeah.
the outlines of their heads or whatever?
Well, you know, in several movies, Lynch begins with the snow on a TV screen.
Yeah.
The first scene in Inland Empire is that girl crying, watching
the snow.
What's going to be the rabbits, but at first it's the snow.
Yeah.
And he does that in the movie... I think it's in Twin Peaks. It begins with the snow on a TV screen, and then it smashes.
Mm-hmm.
He shows the form.
Right.
Okay, so we're talking about the chart. Now, we have revealed that the chart is really not our perspective, but the Android Means retrospective.
Mm-hmm.
So the retrievals, actors in brackets, retrievals and interiorization. I was saying that interiorization is the previous environment chronologically being recognized because the later natural predetermined environment has shown up, so you look at the previous one. You now can see it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's also retrieval factors going on in here. Because from the view of the Android meme, this chart is made in the 90s. And so the interiorization process has come and gone up to 1960.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the 1960-1990 reign of the android meme, and it's replaying all that happened during the human-making phase.
The interiorization has come and gone?
Yes.
It's always a process of interiorization.
Yeah, but now it's the android meme phase.
Where the android meme is interiorizing?
No, the android... We will eventually interiorize the android meme. But we're so puny compared to the android meme going through and simulating the interiorization and retrieval process. It's happening really fast from 1960 to 1990.
Hmm. So we're no longer we're trying to interiorize, but the food on, but the you know, say,
the android meme ain't going to let you because it's going to make itself invisible and make you think that you don't need to interiorize anything.
So it's not the same analogy as don't try to eat anything bigger than your head. In other words, it's too big to interiorize right now.
Or too small.
Or too small. But
the thing is that media does not affect people anymore.
Hmm.
That's the point from 1990 on.
Well, it seems to be affecting the...
You tell me what it's affecting. There's lots of effects reported to you by the android meme.
The Islam, the Muslims. It seems like part of what they're doing is rebelling against the ingression of the android meme, which the rest of us...
Yeah, 25 of them. You know how few Al-Qaeda there are compared to the enormous population of Muslim citizens,
yeah,
who complain about the Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of nut fringe guys, right?
Yeah, right.
And, of course, the android meme wakes up the nuts, the fringes, the Rumpelstiltskin.
Right.
Because it's trying to show human stupidity.
So this argument, like there's a billion... Go ahead.
Android meme's trying to show human stupidity because it thinks that's what humans identify with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what were we going to say?
Well, you hear these people arguing, well, there's a billion
there's a billion, all right.
Islamic people, and if they all become persuaded by the actions of this arrogant president to want to rebel, but you're thinking that's never going to happen. It's always going to be a small lunatic fringe.
Well, you're going to have the General Petraeus, or whatever his name is, going to give the report on the surge this month, all right?
Yeah.
And he's going to tell you that it's going great, right?
Yeah, because that's what he's supposed to say.
And who told him to say that?
Well,
the android meme.
Oh, the android meme.
The point is that...
Do you distinguish between the android meme and the President Bush, or do you...
No, not the image. What's curious about the image of Bush, which is within the android meme seduction, is that the charisma of Bush, as I've been saying for 7 years, is that he is not subject to the android meme.
Mm.
He's off the grid. He ain't using media. He's unilateral. He's not listening.
Yeah.
He's not listening to the android meme.
He's not listening to any of us. I mean, a lot of people around the world wish that he would stop provoking all this trouble, and he doesn't seem to be listening to any of us.
That's right, because he represents being off the grid, because the charisma of his image was that he's not involved in the android meme, or what's called media,
mm-hmm,
or the media elites.
Mm.
Anyways, let's go back to this process. I'm explaining the use of the word retrievals and interiorization to define the Shemshon-Issy process, right?
Yeah, let's lock down this idea and call it a day.
What do we got, another 2 minutes?
Well, we're past the normal break time.
Okay, well, we got to end it up then.
Yeah, so let's finish up with this. Let's lock down this idea of the retrievals and interiorizations, or at least set it up for the next talk.
Well, we're going to continue. I would just say look at the three phases as figures, and they're not as chronologically mechanical as laid out in Bob Marshall charts. There's relationships being developed between, say, on the movies column, movies as the hidden ground, and then the secondary level of ground, the relationship and strains between newspaper and printed book, with the anthropomorphic human representation by Jefferson, who's more known as a printed book situation. And he's up against industrialism, or the Hamiltonian tradition, which is represented by the newspaper, which is the way to industrialize people, even more than the book. Because the newspaper, once it's electrified, creates a new software environment, therefore making the previous environment hardware, what everybody gets involved in making, right? So let's leave with that.
Okay. And when does the interiorization over for the chemical body?
In the interiorization of the that would have been in the 60s.
Yeah, and that when the Android meme begins.
Yeah.
It's recapitulation.
Yeah.
Of the interiorization that human beings have been going through, or the chemical bodies.
Yeah, the chemical body reigned from 1850 to 1950, but it's starting to be eroded by the discarnate effect of the radio, telephone, and movies and automobiles, but it's really obliterated by television.
Yeah.
And that's the 50s. Then in the 60s, you get into the global theater.
Right.
Where we start to play with the chemical body. That's the sexual revolution, the taking drugs revolution, the political revolution, every revolution there ever was.
Right.
Rearview mirror playing with the chemical body.
Oh, okay.
But the real factor is the discarnate effect.
Yeah.
And that's what kills all the chemical body revolutions and playpen activity. Feminism, sexual revolution, politics, civil rights, all of them were wiped out by the discarnate effect as it got interiorized in the 70s and 80s. In other words, people realize, oh, that's what we are, and I'm going to enjoy it.
Right.
Because interiorization is always the previous environment being recognized and manipulated or played with or enjoyed or suffered under consciously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you said the chemical body reigns from 1850 to 1950, roughly.
Yeah, on a general, obvious level.
Yeah, and so what do you call the chemical body before 1850? You start using that term around 1850?
Yeah, because chemistry as a science comes in, and Claude Bernard discovers the interior landscape.
Oh, okay.
And they start looking at germs. Pasteur comes in, invisible things.
Right. So before that, you would just refer to them as people.
No, they had pumping. Their body was made up of pumps.
Oh, okay.
That came in with the 1600s, say. Before that, the body in medieval times was made up of what was called humors.
Hmm. Oh, okay. Interesting.
Okay, so let's end with that.
Okay, so, turn this off. Bye for now.